Good afternoon, Mr. White.
Good afternoon.
Could you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record?
My full name is Jerome Lee White, and my ABC number is 299212.
Thank you, sir. You're here before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing. This is concerning the three allegations that are on your warrant of arrest, sir. You were notified about this hearing on September 6th. Do you remember? You signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Okay. On that form is a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So which is it today? Did you hire the attorney, or will you represent yourself?
I'll be representing myself.
Okay. The attorney's optional at your discretion, so. I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look to your right, so my left, at the other end from me is the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name's Gail Rittenhouse, and I'll be the lead, as Mr. Johnson said, for the hearing today. We also have with us in the room Mr. Westby from the Department of Corrections. He'll represent the department and your parole officer in this hearing today. So I do need to start by swearing the both of you in. So, Mr. White and Mr. Westby, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. White?
I do.
And Mr. Westby?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. White, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So as I start phase one, what I'm going to do for phase one is read each of these allegations to you, and then I need you to respond whether it's true or false. Okay, sir? So we'll start phase one. Now, before I do that, it appears to fellow board members that there are potential charges described in this, and there's no DR number, no booking number. So I'm just asking.
I have a document that shows that the hearing was vacated.
Okay. So that's probably the reason for that. Mr. Westby?
I understand some charges here. Email dated September 11th from Officer Johnson says the current charges that I read was solid and minor, simple, sort of conduct fighting and preventing phone use. Emergency, currently all charges are being reviewed by the city attorney's office. Some of the charges are still on the...
Okay. So, sir, the reason I'm concerned about that is before you say anything, in any of these cases, these hearings are recorded, and in the event there was action in the court, they could subpoena this recording. So that as I read these to you, I'm going to read you three options. First option is say it's true, second option it's false, and third option you wish to remain silent. In that case, if there is anything, you've had your right, we want to protect your rights. Okay, you understand that, sir? Do you know what I'm asking for there? Okay, good. All right, well, let's start then with allegation number one, and this will start phase one of your hearing. And the first allegation is you were in violation of condition number five as demonstrated by your unlawful act of physically knocking a cell phone out of Brittany Ortiz's hand to prevent her from calling the police on or about July 20th, 2018. So, Mr. White, is that true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
It's true.
That's true. Okay. The second allegation, then, is that you were in violation of condition number five as demonstrated by your unlawful act of knocking the cell phone out of Brittany Ortiz's hand at 1641 North Cadota Avenue in Casa Grande, Arizona. Mr. White, is that true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
Can I ask a question? Isn't that pretty much the same as the first allegation?
I've thought that too, but one of them is you physically knocking the cell phone, and the other one is you knocked the cell phone out, and it gave the address of where it happened. Those are the only two differences I can see in this.
Oh,
So did it happen at 1641 North Cadota Avenue, apartment 222? So that part's true, and then unlawful act of knocking the cell phone out of Brittany Ortiz's hand. So I guess true, false, or
one count is the knocking the phone, the other one is disorderly conduct.
Okay.
So two different charges from that one.
So that probably explains that. I don't know if you could hear Mr. Newell. One of the counts is about knocking the phone out of the hand, and the other one is about disorderly conduct. So perhaps this second allegation is the disorderly conduct part of that. We're just guessing based on what we see here.
Right.
So just true or false, or do you wish to remain silent?
It hadn't been addressed, so I'm going to go ahead and say true.
Okay, so, and then the third allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 5 as engaged by, or demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior on or about July 20th, 2018, at 1641 North Cadota Avenue, apartment 222 in Casa Grande. Is that true, false, or do you wish to remain silent?
That is false.
That's false. Okay.
Yes.
All right, so based on your statement that it's false, I'm going to get some testimony from Mr. Westby of the Department of Corrections. So this would be on allegation number 3. Mr. Westby.
July 20th, 2018, approximately 0748 hours, Casa Grande Police Officer Carter, Batch 271, arrived at 1641 North Cadota Avenue, apartment 222, Casa Grande, Arizona 85122, in reference to an incident involving offender White and victim Brittany Ortiz. Upon arrival, Officer Carter initiated contact with Ms. Ortiz. Ms. Ortiz responded she ended the relationship with offender White by the phone conversation at morning. A short time later, offender White drove to her residence and an argument initiated. Ms. Ortiz asked the offender to leave, and he refused. She then attempted to call emergency services, and offender White knocked the phone out of her hand. The offender then grabbed the phone and would not allow Ms. Ortiz to call the police. Ms. Ortiz then picked up her 8-month-old son and walked to the bedroom. At this point, the offender grabbed Ms. Ortiz when she still had her son in her arms, which caused the son's head to make contact with the wall. The result of this contact caused the child to sustain a cut above his left eye and a knot on his forehead. Immediately after, offender White left the apartment without further incident. Ms. Ortiz was unable to locate the phone and had to use the neighbors to call the police. Later that morning, Pinal County Sheriff's Deputy arrested offender White in his residence. The offender was then transported to the Pinal County Detention Center. Offender White is pending one felony count of aggravated assault on a minor. On August 2nd, 2018, offender White was arrested at the Pinal Regional Parole Office and transported to the ASPC Island SVU-1 Detention Unit.
Okay, sir, so that description that Mr. Westby gave would describe the physically assaultive behavior that's being referenced here. So you still maintain that's false, sir?
I do.
Okay. All right, then I'm going to make a motion based on Mr. White's admission for allegations 1 and 2 and for testimony of Mr. Westby of the Department of Corrections on allegation number 3. I'm going to move to find Mr. White delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed in the criminal ways or company.
Sorry.
All right, motion by myself, seconded. Is that you, Mr. Johnson? Okay. And agreed, Mr.
Yes,
sir. You did? Okay. I just didn't hear you. Okay. So, Mr. White, back to you. We'll go to phase 2 of your hearing, which is probably the more important part to you because it's whether your supervision be reinstated or revoked. But before we get into it too far, I'm going to ask Mr. Westby to give us a little background information about your case. So just hold on, and we'll be back to talk with you in just a minute. Mr. Westby.
On March 26, 2018, Mr. White was released from the Arizona Department of Corrections. He was arrested August 1, 2018 by ADC staff on new felony charges of aggravated assault, adult minor, concerning the conduct and use of the device to call 911. He was back in DOC custody on August 1st, 2018, with a projected PD supervision end date of February 20th, 2019, 0 to 7 days. Current conviction, 2015, earned 1 violation, 5 years. Prior conviction, 2015, dangerous drug violation, 2.5 years. This is his first term in DOC, CUIR score 2-2, mental health score 3, substance abuse score 3. There's no gang information noted, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are minimal, with just one ticket for extortion. Other arrest, 2003, DUI, Arizona, disposition unknown. 2004, drug paraphernalia, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2010, marijuana violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. And all of the arrests on record, which are drug-related charges, are resulting in charges being dismissed or not filed. His community risk score is a G2V2.
Okay, and you've already given us status of charges, so thank you. Okay, so Mr. White, we just had a real short written summary of your while you were on community supervision. Looks like you were originally going to live with your brother, German White, at 209 West Pima in Coolidge, but then you wanted to go live with your uncle, Joel White, at 5007 East Newman Street in Coolidge. So you never did go to your brother's then, you went to your uncle's.
No, I went to my brother's the first night, yes.
Oh, the first night, okay.
Yes.
Okay. And then did you stay at your uncle's then the whole rest of the time that you were out?
Yes.
Okay. And did you find a job? It looks like you were looking for a job. Did you find one?
I actually had the intake with Ms. Johnson. She gave me the option. Well, she gave me the option of going back into a old business. I was a self-employed as a mobile mechanic.
Uh-huh.
And I told her that if I didn't do that, then I would seek employment elsewhere. But I told her I couldn't do those things until I got my driver's license back.
Right.
So that was part of the short-term goals that me and her had set in place.
Okay, and that was in March that you had that discussion?
Yes.
And so did you get your driver's license back?
I did.
Okay, and when did you get it about?
Late May, early June.
Okay, well, what took so long with that?
Well, ma'am, I hadn't had a driver's license in 23 years.
So I
had to go through a revocation process.
Okay, so you had to go, did you have to go take the test and everything?
Actually, I just had to take the eye exam.
The eye exam, oh, okay, well, that's good, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so that kind of prevented you from getting a job since you were living in Coolidge. You pretty much need a car to get around. Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't have much public transportation there in Coolidge. I don't think they have a bus system. So we'd rely on that, yeah. So, okay, and it looks like you were referred for a mental health evaluation. Did you ever get over there for that?
I did.
You did, okay.
Yes.
And it looks like you were also attending, was it NA or AA or...
I was attending NA meetings.
Okay.
And after I went to the mental health screening, I stopped going to NA meetings and opted to go to counseling with Panama Hispanic every week.
Okay, and how was that going?
I was there.
Did you?
Oh, that was going very well.
Did you enjoy it? Did you feel benefit from it?
Yes, because when I went to NA meetings after like the first 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I started to hear about people who were relapsing. And I didn't want to be around that environment. So at the Panama Hispanic, the counselor there, he had 13 years of sobriety. So that's what I wanted to be around.
Okay.
Because we were able to talk about more things than just drug use. We were
right.
able to talk about church, everything that I was going through, my divorce.
Okay.
So it was very beneficial. That's why I went every week.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Had you had a problem with drugs before in your life? It sounds like there was something.
Yes, I was, unfortunately, I was addicted to meth.
Oh.
So that's what got me sent to prison, yes.
Okay, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But how are you doing now? When's the last time you used meth?
I haven't used since December 23rd, 2014.
Oh, excellent. I'm so glad to hear that. That's great.
Yes.
Do we use alcohol or marijuana or anything else?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so meth was your thing. That's what that was what,
yes.
what got you. Okay. All right. Let's see. And you did talk about the incident. What was happening the day that you went over there? What happened that day?
Well, actually, I mean, there were some events that led up to that. My first year in prison, my wife of 25 years divorced me. So that was a very painful thing that I had to endure. And when I got released from DOC, I have to admit that I was somewhat vulnerable. I got involved with somebody too soon and someone who was too young. And things started out well, but as time progressed, I started to see her insecurities. And she asked me to help, you know, to deal with them and help her to overcome them. And I willingly attempted to do so. So me, I jumped through a lot of hoops that most men wouldn't do. And sadly, in the end, I ended up being frustrated because the insecurities still remained. So that day, I had actually stayed the night there that day, the previous night. And I told her that I had to leave early in the morning because I had a lot of work to do that day. So when it came time for me to leave, she didn't want me to leave. And about 10 minutes later, I received a text saying that she was ending her relationship again. And this time, basically, sorry to be so graphic, it was because she wanted me, I didn't have sex with her while she was menstruating. That's what ended up happening. So it upset me. I admit it upset me. And me being in my emotions, I acted inappropriately, poorly.
Okay, sir. All right, well, thank you for that explanation. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Do either of you have a question for Mr. White? Okay, Mr. White, we're coming up to the end of your hearing, but I want to give you the chance. Sometimes when you start talking about something, you say, oh, I should have told them this. Is there anything else of that nature?
In regards to the incident or
anything else before we talk and make a decision, is there anything else you'd like the board to consider?
Well, first, I would like the board to consider that the fact that the hearing was vacated. I believe the hearing was vacated because the Pinal County attorney looked at the police report and then probably looked into Ms. Ortiz's history and seeing that she said those things for a reason. I believe she said those things because if she didn't, she would have risked losing her children again to CPS. And until that day, I had been doing my best to be a model parolee. I had achieved all four goals, my short-term goals. I reported as usual, as I was asked to do. I paid my supervision fees. I had just had my custody, my supervision level drop from medium to minimum. And when Ms. Johnson called me and told me that I was going to be detained, she told me I was going to be detained, and I didn't run, I didn't abscond. I self-surrendered, and I was at her office within 2 hours. So I'm asking the board to consider that as well. I serve a God, my Father in heaven, who gives his children second chances. And I'm humbly asking the board to be merciful to me and reinstate my parole and give me a second chance to prove that I can successfully complete these last 5 months of parole. So thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Oh, sure, so thank you. Mr. White, the board is going to go into discussion, and we do our discussion in public in Arizona under the open meeting law. So all we ask is you just remain on the phone and just remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir? Thank you. The board is now in discussion. This is a little bit of a difficult case because Mr. White is very obviously an intelligent man and very articulate. believe him that he has not used meth since 2014, and I think that he was trying to do what he was told to do. He didn't care for Narcotics Anonymous, which some people, it doesn't speak to them, but he was going to an alternative kind of counseling, which was more appropriate to his needs. He figured that out. He was where he was supposed to be. He got his driver's license and was, I think, working on getting a job. Didn't have one maybe yet, but was close. The issue for me is the new charges, and you know, he claims they're vacated, which I have no reason not to believe him. But we also have Mr. Presby saying they're still pending. So where I'm stuck is I would hate to be the board that release somebody that had pending charges. So that's where I'm stuck. But I mean, if not for that, that's what's got me. So I'd really like to hear what you each think on this, in this particular case.
It is kind of difficult. He does seem to be doing the same thing, although he does have this pending cases. That's kind of where the issues are for me, too. And he's telling that those cases were vacated, and the parole officer is basically saying that they're pending. So that's just kind of where I'm at with the issue. So I think that because he has those pending charges, that he'd be best to remain incarcerated. He'll be out in February, which is what, 3 months? 4 months
four
away?
Five.
149 days.
Oh, 149 days.
How did you figure that out so fast? Go ahead.
I'm going to charge this. The officer had probable cause to file those charges. And even you know, if you went in front of a judge and they were vacated, that vacating the charges from a guilty plea, you could only vacate them if there was already some kind of plea thing going on, you know. That otherwise they would just dismiss them. But that doesn't mean it didn't happen. It means that there's not enough to proceed with the prosecution. It doesn't mean he didn't do what he was accused of.
And he admits he did it.
Yeah, so, you know, so the fact they're pending and everything. But I don't know, the idea that there was an altercation with that small baby in the woman's arms is, you know, even without injuries, it's still kind of troublesome that you have that kind of an argument to push shove and slap things out of people's hands and their little baby in there. I'm not comfortable with the idea of returning to community supervision.
All right. Well, I'll make a motion then. Based on the information in warrant 2018W2203A, I'm going to move to revoke community supervision as Mr. White was doing but violated the terms and conditions of supervision and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal laser company, specifically by getting involved in this incident and potentially incurring additional charges.
Second.
Agreed. Okay, thank you. Motion by myself, second Mr. Johnson. Agreed, Mr. Neal. Okay, back to you, Mr. White. You heard our discussion. This is a very difficult situation because ordinarily I would not have had a problem, but you know, putting you back on community supervision, because I believe you. I believe that you haven't used drugs since 2014. I believe you were doing what you're supposed to do. It's just that this incident was just you kind of had an impulse and you acted on it, and you probably later went, why did I do that? But it resulted in these charges, which are, I mean, we've got one place saying they're pending and you saying they're vacated. I believe you both.
I have a document right here. I have a document right here that says it has been vacated. If you can
vacate
see that,
the hearing. Yeah, and but according to Mr. Neal, it can still they can still come back up. We just, it just puts, we put the board in a bad position if something were to happen, sir. So, you know, so the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. I know that's not what you wanted to hear, and certainly not what we wanted to do either, but just based on that, part of our job is to make sure that the citizens are protected. So, you know, we sure wish you the best, sir, because I think you're going to do just fine once you're out. You won't have, in February 20th, it looks like you'll be done. You'll be, your obligation to the criminal justice in Arizona will be over, and you won't have a parole officer, so you'll be free to do anything, and we sure hope you do well. I really want to wish you well, and thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. So we appreciate it. Thanks. And if you give the phone back to the CO3, we'd appreciate it, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.